We are happy you tuned in to us this Sunday afternoon for Take Time for Jesus. We would like to thank those who have helped us with the financial blessing. And at the end of this broadcast, we will give you our email address where you can email us or the P.O. box so you can write us. God bless you. Here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon, friends and loved ones out there in radio land. We are happy again that God has blessed us and able us to come once again into your homes. And to, by the way of radio and on the internet, we just appreciate God in his richness of his love and his grace, his blessings, and we pray that he has blessed you and kept you in the days gone by and will continue to do so in the days to come. We just appreciate him today and thank him for what he has done for us, my friend, because he has brought forth, and then the sacrifice that he made on Calvary would brought forth there the opportunity for you and I to have salvation and not be condemned into a place of torment for eternal life. I just praise God today to know that he's still on the throne, he's still in the saving business, still in the healing business, and he has kept us by his grace. I just appreciate that grace that is more than sufficient for our needs if we'll just fully trust in him and give him the praise and the glory. Now, we're going to go before the Lord with a word of prayer at this time, and then I'm going to turn it over to my wife. She's got something other here that kindly goes along with our present time that we're living. And I think if you read in the paper today, that kind of suits us pretty good, too. But I want you to think about that God is still in control, and nothing is going to get by him, and he's going to bring forth what he has had put in the Bible. It's all going to come to pass, whether you or I one like it or not, or whether anyone likes it. It's going to be according to God's will, and he don't have to answer to no man. So I just appreciate him today and thank him for his grace and his mercy and his loving kindness. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this again opportunity that by your grace that we could come to the radio station and go into the homes by way of radio. We just praise you and we thank you for your love and kindness and for the sacrifice that you made of giving your life, shedding your blood, that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Not meaning that we can have all that we want, but you have met our needs and the abundant life is yet to come if we make an end to the kingdom of God by the grace of the living God through that shed blood of Christ. We will have that abundant life. And I appreciate the hope that we have, that Christ in us, the hope of glory, giving you praise and honor and thanking you, and ask that you would bless those that have helped us with the finances of this broadcast and those that have prayed for us and those out there under the sound of our voice that are listening. We pray, God, that you would help them and we could all come to the unity of the Spirit in God and trusting in the grace of the living God, that we might come together in a solid fellowship with one another and with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We just appreciate it and we give you the glory and honor for it, and we thank you for your ever-loving kindness, and we give you the praise and the glory for it all. Help those that are sick and less fortunate than we, those that are down and out and destitute and lost their homes by the different reasons and all. You know all the circumstances, and we just pray, God, but through thy mercy, by your grace, that you would help us all, Lord, in these days in which we now live, for they are perilous times. And all that is done in thy holy name, we give you the praise and the glory for it all. In the precious name of Jesus, amen and amen. Here's my wife now. She's got something there for you. And so, Lord bless you.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm just so glad to be able to come to you this wonderful, beautiful, sunshiny Florida Sunday afternoon. And I got a message up there for my friends up in New Hampshire. Keep cleaning out your well and get out all that debris and everything. And guess what? You'll get some living waters. And there'll be clean water that you can drink out of, and you won't have to worry about getting any bacteria or anything like that. When you drink from the living water, it's pure Holy Ghost water. Praise the Lord. I want to share with you this afternoon from my Bible friend. It's a little paper I get And they've got a lot of things in there that is for our generation today. For the time we have today is America, wake up. Several months ago, I saw a placard which said, God bless America. These words were crossed out and placed with the words, America, bless God. History teaches us, if we are willing to learn from history, that God will bless any nation who has blessed him. The United States of America was founded on and dedicated to the principles of God's word and trust in Jesus Christ. Like any other nation in history, we have seen the results of the freedom these principles gave us. We became the most prosperous and powerful nation in the world, with a population operating in moral and social integrity. Recently, Dr. Carl Zimmerman wrote a text called Family and Civilization. In it, he identified 11 symptoms of final decay observable in the fall of both the Greek and Roman civilization as a litmus test. Observe if any of these observations in any way characterize America's present-day society. Number one is a no-fault divorce. Number two is a birth dearth. Increased disrespect for parenthood and parents. Number three is meaningless marriage rites and ceremonies. Four is a defamation of past national heroes. Five is acceptance of alternative marriage forms. Six is widespread attitudes of feminism, narcissism, and hedonism. Seven is propagation of anti-family sentiment. Eight is acceptance of most forms of idolatry and adultery. Nine is rebellious children. 10 is increased juvenile delinquency, and 11 is the common acceptance of all forms of sexual perversion. And we've had another one, is a division of churches and fellowship. We have come together not as unity, but we're individuals, and that's not the way God intended it to be. Do any of these strike a chord with what is happening in our nation today? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being totally dissimilar and 10 identical, where is the United States of America today? Can you think of any reason God should treat the United States of America any differently than he did the Greek and Roman civilizations? Billy Graham's wife once said, if God does not judge the United States as no other nation has been judged, he will have to go back and apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Amen.
Our nation has turned away from more spiritual light and truth than any nation before it, and the salt is losing its savor. Jesus told us the end result without respect of persons. It is good for nothing but to be cast out and trampled under the feet of men.
Yes.
The
Amen.
Solution, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. America, bless God again. Amen. These ideas are very deeply embedded into the founders' views. In fact, a classic example in George Washington's farewell address, in which he said, religion and morality are indispensable supports for political prosperity. Basically, what he was saying is that our Constitution and our government have to have some pillars holding them up. Religion and morality are the bases on which the Republican form of government rests. Those are Washington's last official words to the country. His first official words when he took his oaths of office, including these great words, The sacred fire of liberty has been entrusted to the hands of the American people. He said this liberty that we have is a sacred fire. It's a fire that was not stolen from the heavens. The Prometheus in Greek mythology stole fire from the gods. No, it's a holy fire that has been given to us by heaven itself. Washington said, it has been given to me, and it's given to you. And then final, Thomas Jefferson on liberty. These are the words by Thomas Jefferson. God, who gave us life, gave us liberty. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are of the gift of God, that they are not to be violated, but with his wrath. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. Those were the words of Thomas Jefferson, and if you don't know who Thomas Jefferson is, get on the computer and look him up. Get on there, look up the Constitution of the United States. Get on there, look at the Gettysburg Address. All these men, they founded this country on God's principles, and we have gotten so far away from it. I say, God bless America again. But the way it's gone, he said he will not bless a nation that has turned against them. Where are we today? America, wake up before it's too late. Amen. Here's Brother Earl.
Praise the Lord. Truly, if we had some people that was in the heads of state, the government that would bear record to our Constitution as the way that it was founded, then maybe things would be different than what it is today. But my friend, the Bible speaks about the perilous times, and we're definitely there, about the false teachers coming, and there we've had them and still got them, and all these things coming around. And the main thing is today that even to our leader, supposed to be leader of the country, is also come up and, oh, it's all right to have a marriage between a man and a man. Now, God's word is contrary to that. It does speak against those things and says it's an abomination to God. So why would we sanction these things if God is against it? He says they're worthy of death, as in Leviticus. Now, I realize that this was under the law. And you might go back to far as to say, you might go as to far as to say, that was for the Jews, honey. I beg your pardon. It's for all that would believe in the reality of the saving grace of God and accepting his word is being truth. And if you don't accept the word of God as being the truth, then you are lost. Absolutely. If we cannot conduct ourselves according to the word of God and go by that, then we're all lost. Our religion is in vain. But a lot of people today is going and changing what the scripture says to whatever they want it to say. It would appease them and to their likeness of their itching ears that a teacher would teach them these things. But in the 20th chapter of Leviticus and the 13th verse, he said, if a man lies with a daughter-in-law, both of them should surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion, their blood shall be on them own. 13 says, if a man also lies with a mankind, as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, and they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be on their own hand. Now, my friend, Bible is very specific on these things. Now, we know that God created a man, and then he made woman from the man, and he brought them forth as man and woman. He didn't bring them forth as Adam and Steve. He brought them forth as Adam and Eve. Clearly signify that man is not supposed to be married to another man or a woman married to another woman. But in our society today, our judges and many of the heads of state have sanctioned this. And we go ahead and get over into the New Testament now, if you want to get a little bit technical about it, because that was a Leviticus law and it went only to the Jews. Paul was chosen on the road to Damascus, and he was told that he was going to send him to the Gentiles. Now, whatever you might call yourself today, if you wasn't a natural born Jew, then you, as far as I'm concerned, the way the Bible reads, you were a Gentile. So, therefore, when Paul was commissioned by God himself to send him to the Gentiles, that we may hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and understand his word. When Paul makes mention about that, that the people have worshiped God and they claim this here, and they turn him aside. We'll just read a little bit of it here. He said in the Romans, the first chapter in the 16th verse, Paul makes mention there, he said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Therefore it is righteousness of God reserved them faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against the ungodliness and the unrighteousness of man, who holds the truth in unrighteousness, because that which were made known to God as manifested into them, and God had showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which were made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." You don't have an excuse. God is God. Anywhere in the world you want to go, he's still there. And you don't have no excuse for your sins, my friend. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not, neither were thankful, but because of vain in their own imagination, and their foolishness of heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the images made like corruptible men, and of birds, and of four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Therefore God has gave them over to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them over to a vile affection, that they even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burning in their own lust one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving to themselves the recompense of their error, which was not meant." But my friend, it's plain in the word of God. They turned them over to a reprobate mind, that they believe a lie. I've heard some of them say, "This is the way God made me." They was that type of person, and it's a lie. They told a lie on God. But my friend, today, because of all this here, that the Lord Jesus Christ, when God in the flesh walked among man, he told them, when they spoke about the last days, and they asked him what would be the signs, and he said that it would come a time that we're in, that they would walk with lust in their lives and lust in their hearts, and they would even come to the place to where in that they would tell these things. So I've heard people say that God made them that way. My friend, let me tell you, God made man, and he made him perfect. He made him in that, but because of man's own foolishness and his disobedience, he become vile He became with a sinful nature, and that when Adam fell in the garden, we all was a part of that, and we become vile in our own imagination, and we can imagine most anything. But the Word of God will help us to clear up the thoughts of our heart and bring us into the place of where He would have us, and He would receive us with rightly dividing the Word of God. But my friend, when it comes down to man with man and woman with woman, it's an abomination in the sight of God. And some of our heads of state, judges and one thing and another, have came and sanctioned it and made it lawful that they can do this when it's completely against God's will and His law. The Bible says they're worthy of death. And even to them that has pleasure, well, they having pleasure with them because they go in their route. My friend, you might say, well, you mighty bold in what you're saying. Well, let me tell you something other. If God can't protect me with all of this, all of His mighty power, there ain't nothing I can do about it anyway. But the truth is far from some people's thoughts. They've turned the truth of God and made Him likened unto the Scripture said, made Him into statues and made Him into whatever. But He's still God, my friend. Just because you can't see Him, reach out there and touch Him as you would something tangible, it does not negate the fact that He is real, because I talk to Him every day of my life, and His Spirit is within me, and that's where it makes the difference. Born again of the water and of the Spirit, that makes the difference between where you see Him. You can see Him in His creation, because if you're one of them people that believe that the Big Bang and something went off and all this here happened, then you're most miserable, my friend. If you can't believe that there is a God and know that God is real, and you believe in this Big Bang theory that they've come up with, that all this here Big Bang, whatever that happened, and all this stuff existed, and that man crawled out of a slime pit and it became a man, some kind of little germ, well, I got news for you, my friend. God made man in His own image, and God ain't no germ. He didn't crawl out of a slime pit. He was before anything else was. He created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof by Jesus Christ. You can take that to the bank. According to the Word of God, that's truth. But my friend, the people have turned these things around, and they've made God to be something less than what He is. And it's going to come to bear down on you one of these days, and believe in all of this here forerunning stuff that comes out teaching that God is three in a Godhead or whatever. But the Bible speaks about there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We're baptized into one body, and we've come to the place of where the church is so divided, no wonder America's in such a trouble, in so much a torment. We got this one going this way and that one going that way and somebody else going some other way and teaching this and teaching that, when the Bible is specifically said that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the door of the sheepfold. The shepherd can come in at the door. Anybody climbs up any other way is same as a thief and a robber. My friend, I've heard people to tell me, he said, well, you speak in tongues. That's an occult. And so I let them know that next time they wanted some of this occult to help them out with some kind of finances or whatever it is, might be, call somebody else. Don't call me, because they considered me to be an occult. My friend, today, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is as real today as it was on the day of Pentecost when it fell upon that 120 in upper room, and it said the sound of a rushing wind. It didn't say a rushing wind. It just said a sound of a rushing wind. And there set upon him each and every one clothing tongue of fire, which that fire of God will burn out all that impurities and that adulteress and that stealing and killing and lying and drunkenness out of you if you allow it. That's what it's there for, to bring you to the fullness and the truth and the knowledge of God's Word. It came for there on 120. And they, that day that Peter stood up and said, this is that to which the prophet Joel spoke of in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. My friend, we've got preachers going around insulting the women folks of the gospel and out through the day, and they're going to answer to all this to the Almighty God. My friend, if God is anointing is upon that, if he can speak through a jackass, I'm sure he can speak through a woman. If he can speak through a rooster and warn talk to Peter, I'm sure he can use a woman. But my friend, today, when we get all these little isms and schisms all down in our crawl, and we can't do nothing but sit there and crow our own self, it's like the rooster wakes up every morning just to hear himself crow. My friend, it's getting to be mighty shameful. But the thing of it is that the Bible speaks about that Jesus told him, he said, in the last days. He was questioning him about what will be the signs. In one place he told him, he said, be no sign given unto you except that of the of prophet Jonah. Jonah was in the whale 3 days and nights. It meant that Christ was going to be crucified. He was going to be in the grave 3 days. In 3 nights he come out and he's alive. Jonah got out of the belly of the whale. But why? Because he found out and he called. He called upon the God of creation and he delivered him out of the belly of the whale. We'll get it right. Anyway, he spewed him out of his mouth on the shore there, and when 3 days journey, he didn't get no yellow cow but nothing to get him on down to Nineveh. He run in there and preaching that God was going to destroy it. And the people, even to the king, the big man, took off his royal robe and put on sackcloth and set it ashes, and all of the animals was covered with sackcloth, and they went on a fast. And God spared him, made Jonah mad, and that's the way it is with a lot of preachers today. If God don't do it like they want it done, they get upset with God and say, oh, you don't. Well, God knows what he's doing, my friend. I don't always know what I'm doing, but he knows exactly what he's doing. But he said another sign, he said, would be given unto him in the last days. Perilous times, and we are in them. But he said that it would be like it was in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. The days of Noah, they run about doing all kinds of sin, creating all kinds of problems, doing what they all felt right was in their own sight. And we got the world is full of that right today. And then he said, as Sodom and Gomorrah, well, if you read the story about what he was speaking about, Sodom was destroyed by fire from heaven because of this same thing that we're sanctioning, or some of these people are sanctioning. I don't agree with it. It's not the person that I dislike. It's the thing that they have into, their sins at which I'm against. It's not the person. The person, if he'll get out of it, he can be a child of God if he'll just surrender himself to it and get out of that kind of lifestyle. God loves him, and I love him, but I don't like his sins and his lifestyle, and neither does God. But he continues in it according to the scriptures. He's going to fall dead, and therefore his blood will be on his own hand. It's not going to be on mine, because I'm telling you what God said. You can take it for whatever you want to put it with, and you can believe it or not. It ain't going to change the fact that God said that the word says that you're worthy of death. A man that will lie with a man as he does with a woman, or a woman with a woman that would lie, and all these things. But my friend, the Bible speaks about that these things would happen. So we've got the times of Noah, and we've got the times of Sodom and Gomorrah right here together on us today, both events. Because we've got people doing everything, all kinds of sin. They're doing all kinds of committing sin. Going into our schools and shooting our children, even going into all kinds of things and doing all kinds of things because they like it. That's right in my sight. Well, my friend, that's what the problem is. Somebody, the devil puts something other in his mind and he acts upon it. He committed sin. The devil didn't make him do it. He just put it in his mind and he went and done it. He can resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But if you go along with him and walk down the road with him, holding hands with him, that boy will get you in all kinds of trouble. But I want you to know, my friend, today, there's no sin that you've ever done that I know of that God won't forgive you if you're sincerely honest with him and want to forgiveness. Well, we know that people murdered people unreasonably, for no reason at all. They go around and shoot people walking down the street, shooting in the automobiles. The other day was some man out there pointing the rifles at a school bus up there and everything, and the bus run into another and caused a chain reaction and everything. These things are perilous times, my friend. Wake up to the reality of God's word. Study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Churches, wake up. Your denominational walls needs to come down and get into a fellowship with God and his people. We all need to come together in the unity of the Spirit, obeying what the scripture says instead of your own backroom doctrine. Plain and simple. It may be harsh, but it's simple. God is not going to have a divided place for a place over there in that little corner of heaven for this denomination, and another place over here for this one, and another one for somebody else, and something else for somebody else. It's all one church, one body. We're baptized into one body, not several different divisions. My friend, we're going to have to get it right if we intend to get into the kingdom of God. If we can't have fellowship down here and put the differences aside and obey what the scripture says, I don't think we're going to get in that kingdom. I just honestly don't believe that we'll make it into the kingdom of God with all this division amongst us. God's not divided. He's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, but we're baptized into one body. And he said, without the Spirit of God, you're none of his. And if you deny that God has got a way of speaking through his people by his own, with the tongues that the Holy Ghost, Acts 2:38 brings forth, and it's full of there, as the apostles described it. And if you can't believe in that, my friend, and you put it off to be in something else, you may not make it anyway. It's plain, but it's truth. I don't mean to be offensive to nobody, but I'm not going to be sugarcoated to wherein that your blood, if you die in your sins, that your blood will be on my hands on the day of judgment. Because we're all going to stand before God, and we're going to give an account, whether it's good or bad. We're going to give an account, and if we stand there and with blood, your blood on my hands, I'm not going to enter in, and I don't want it. But if the blood's on your own head, you're not going to enter in because of your unbelief and because of your disobedience, hard-headedness, as the old folks say, and I'm old. But nevertheless, we need to.
Bringing Inspiration Radio to Tampa Bay for over 35 years, this is AM 1110, WTIS, Tampa's Inspiration Station.
And we need to get down to business with God. Read the Word of God. Take it verbatimly as to being the truth. If you're not going to take it that way, my friend, and understand and believe that the Word of God is truth, it'll get you from sin unto salvation and from get you into the kingdom of God. If you're not going to believe it, why even bother with it? But most every home you go into, that they'll have a Bible laying there, but a lot of times they dust it off the front of it, but they never turn it open to read it. And a lot of people today is under wanting a man somewhere or another that calls himself holy something or other, and everything. They'll tell him what the interpretation of it is so far out in left field until he don't even know what is going on. And my friend, they'll go by that. Sit down, read your word, sit down with it, and ask God to help you with understanding. Help you to realize in what it's all about. He'll give you the understanding of it. But a lot of these preachers have got several degrees hanging on the wall. They think they got it, all the answers. No man's got all the answers, my friend. I haven't went to none of them our seminars, and maybe they say, well, that's the reason why come you're so dumb and you preach like that. But I ain't dumb. The Spirit of God ain't dumb, my friend. He knows more about it than I do, or you either one or any of them people with degrees on the wall. But my friend, let me tell you, he can have all the degrees that he wants to. If he ain't got the Spirit of God in his life, his degrees will burn up in hell with him. Plain and simple, but it's the truth. We got to go by what God says. Are we going to be lost? I don't care who you are, where you come from, or what, whatever. If we can't go and believe what the Word of God says and accept that as being truth, and we want to turn it around and make our own guidelines and go by that rather than go by what the truth of God's Word is, we're going to be lost. God ain't going to have no adulterers, murderers, thieves, whoremongers, and all these here fornication and stuff. It ain't going to come into the kingdom of God, plain and simple. Now, either the Word of God is truth or it's a lie. But I'm persuaded to believe that the Word of God is truth, that God said that one thing he cannot do, and that's lie. My friend, I've seen a lot of preachers that tell you a joke and laugh and carry on and it get behind the pulpit and preach against the same thing he just talked about. It's not right. There's nothing wrong with having a little fun. But as long as it stays with a clean and ain't got something other immoral added to it and all them things, I ain't got no criticizing from him. Some people got to go, you got to dress a certain way, you got to look a certain way, you got to act a certain way, you got to walk a certain way, and you can't wear brown shoes because if those shows a sign of homosexual, if you ain't got but one pocket on your shirt, shows a sign of homosexual. Where did all this come from? From the back room of a congregation, that three or four men got together and made the rules, and it's really right down stupid. Those people that live in that lifestyle, they wear black shoes and they got a lot of shirts and ain't got but one pocket on them, but they got some with two pockets on it. My friend, when it comes to splitting hairs that fine and you saying all these things, you need to go back to the altar and repent. You need to get the truth of God's Word into your heart and understand that true holiness is not in what you wear, it's not in what you do, but it's that in Christ Jesus, the hope of glory in you, that brings forth holiness to us. It's not your amount of bank account. It's not your job qualification or whatever else, or the way the women wear their hair, or the way the man, whether he wears a tie or not, but it's all the truth is in holiness, is in the Word of God. Truth in Christ Jesus. Believing what thus saith the Word of God. Or they'll believe some of it, but then when it comes down to something other that they don't want to accept, they'll leave that out. My friend, it's the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. That's what the oath is when you go into a courtroom. They want you to swear on the Word of God, or used to. I don't know what they do with it now, but it used to be that way. And they put your hand on the book, right hand on the Bible, and raise your left hand, and you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. And they said yes, and they get up there and lie through the teeth. They do it all the time. But I don't even know whether they even have the Bible in. They cast out so much of God's truth out of the courts and out of the land and one thing or another anymore. I don't know where they allow a Bible to be in there for a man to put his hand on if he was legitimately doing it truthfully. I mean, in all sincerity of honest. I don't know where they got the Bibles in the courtrooms anymore or not. I don't make it a habit of going into one of them. I try to avoid that. I try to do the right thing to avoid from getting caught up into that. My friend, today, we've got all kinds of things happening in the world. And the only truth that we can come up to be what God would have us to be is to understand reading His Word. Going by what thus saith the Word of God. Not by what somebody else out of some seminar school somewhere. I have made the statement there, out of behind a tomb of a dead God in a cemetery somewhere or another. My friend, it's what thus saith the Word of God. A man can teach you all he knows, and that's all you will know. But the Holy Ghost says that he will come to you and he will lead and guide you into all truth. My friend, I found it to be true. I've sat under some preachers in my past that when it come right down to it, sometimes they would live the life they preached, and sometimes they'd get over on the sideline. But my friend, the matter of the fact of it, we're going to I'm not their judge, but we're going to have to stand before the wise judge, the only true judge, as Jesus Christ, the righteousness. Then we're going to give an account for whatever we've done. But the scripture says, Jesus was telling him there, he said that when he come before him, he said he's going to put some on the right and some on the left. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. And he's going to say unto them that on his right enter in, and them on his left depart. But he also says that there's going to be many of them there that's going to say, oh, Lord, we've done all these wonderful things. We opened the blind eyes, we've healed the sick, and we've cast out devils, and all these wonderful things we've done in thy name. And he said, depart from me, for I never knew you. God will recognize his name. The devil knows his name. If you remember there, the seven sons of Caesar went out there, and they said, in the name of Jesus, of whom Paul preaches, going to cast the devil out of him. He didn't know God, but he, in the name of Jesus, of whom Paul preaches, come out of him. And he did. He jumped on him and run him off down the road naked. My friend, there's going to come a reckoning to all things one day. And we're going to stand before the only true living God. And we're going to give an account for the life that we've lived here on this old planet Earth that he created. Even to Adam is going to be brought up. Eve is going to be there. And all of the rest of them from that on down, even to you and I, and all of them that would come after us, is going to give an account. And you might say, well, how in the world is it? God can do anything, my friend. He's got no limitations. He don't have to ask you and me, at least why he never called me up on any morning and woke me up and say, well, Brother Earl, what do you want? What can I do today? No, he ain't never done that way to me. If he has you, well, more power to you, but I don't think so. But nevertheless, we're going to give an answer. These people that are doing all these ungodly things and an abomination in the sight of God and their lifestyle and everything, whether it's adultery, the one thing of a marriage, same-sex marriage and all that kind of stuff, and drunkenness, whoremongering and all that kind of stuff, is going to stand and give an account. It's plain and simple. You either believe God's word and take it as it is, or you just leave it alone. You'd be better off. Scripture says he'd rather you to be hot or cold, for if you lukewarm, he'll spew you out of his mouth. So one that believed to a point, he might be considered to be lukewarm. You do some of it, but you throw the rest of it away. It's kind of like throwing the baby out with the wash water. My friend, we're going to have to get down to brass tacks with God. We're going to have to come down to down on our knees and humble before a true and a living God, that he can lift us up into his place, into his statues. Bring us to that, because that's what he desires, to bring us back to the place of where we fell in the Garden of Eden, whereby that he can have that fellowship with us, and he can talk with us and walk with us. But as long as we stand divided in the world today, and we going by all this here foolishness and everything, send me your biggest bill and God will bless you with $150,000 and all that kind of stuff and everything. Honey, we're going to have to get down to business with God. God said, if you seek first you the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, then all the other things will be added unto you. Believe me, my friend, I come up during the Depression days and World War II, and then through all these other skirmishes that have been gone along, and God has met my needs. But he hadn't overabundant me. He wrote me checks and sent them down there to me for hundreds of thousands of dollars. I haven't ever been to a church. I hear that they get up there and they jump up and down and holler, money, money, money. Well, that's foolishness in my book. God said he would supply our needs, but we got to seek him first in his righteousness. There's a lot of people out there doing whatever, and their needs are being met, but where is it going to wind them up to be? How is it going to fare with them at the end when they come to give, when their life is ended? Where are they going to be then? The Bible doesn't speak of but two places outside of this old world, and that's heaven and earth. So one of the two places we're going to spend eternity. We either be in the kingdom of God in the place that we call heaven that the Bible speaks about, or we'll be in the domains of hell where the devil lives. It's your decision. I can't make the decision for you. If I could, we'd all believe in the fullness of the God that created the heavens and the earth. The devil believes and he trembles. Some people say, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, but he goes right on out there and does some of the ungodliest things that I ever heard of. How can it be? There's no fountain going to bring forth salt water and clean drinking water at the same time. It'll turn brackish. And you see this old grass that grows in this brackish water? I don't know what it's fit for. But I want you to know, my friend, today that we need to get to the place of wherein that we can accept the Word of God as truth. Brackish water, some things will live in it, but it's not fit to drink it. It won't grow you no collard greens. You can't mix your cornbread with it. It'll foul it up. But I want you to know one thing, that pure, clean, clear waters of life, it comes from the throne of grace through Christ Jesus, will bring you to the place that we're in that he wants you to be, and it'll get your life going, and it'll sustain you when everything else fails. This church that God died for was not a building, not a denomination. It was for the soul of man. And he wants you to come into that place. It's the individuals bound together in the love of God that makes up the church. Oh, my friend, can't we understand that it's time that we come together. Forget about the isms and schisms. Get all of the kinks out of our wire and get it on a straight, direct line to God. Clean out our wells and get all the debris out of it, the isms and schisms, where the clean, clear waters of life, Christ Jesus, can flow in and out of us, around and about us, and bring us to that place that is, as Ezekiel said, he brought him to a river and he measured it out until he got to a place of where it was impossible to cross. You cannot cross over the fullness of God's saving grace. Rich man died in hell. He lifted up his eyes, seen a Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Oh, Father Abraham, let Lazarus come and tip his finger in the water and come and touch my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. He said, remember when you were there? You had everything. You fared sumptuously. Lazarus, he was there. Well, it doesn't say that he wouldn't even feed him, but he was there. He had everything. Was nothing. He wasn't comforted in any way. He said, now, you're tormented, and Lazarus is comfort. He said, but he can't come from one place to the other. You can't come up here, and he can't go down there, because there's a great gulf fixed between it. My friend, the only way you're going to get across into that kingdom of God is being born again. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, calling upon the name of the Lord, and get forgiveness of your sin. With a broken heart and a contrite spirit, or you wind up on the other side of that great gulf. Right now we kind of in between, but it's your decision. You want to go to the place where the Bible speaks that a Lazarus was at, being comforted, or you want to go to the place where Abraham said that the rich man was at, in discomfort. It's up to you. It's up to me. I don't have no monopoly on it, and no other man is either. No other man can save you. Nobody but Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, Jesus came and put a face on the living God, went back into the spirit to where he could be with us and wherever we might be, because in the flesh he could only be with them right there presently. But in the spirit of the Holy Ghost, he can be with you over wherever you may be, and be with me here. And my friend, let me tell you, I believe he's here with me. I believe he could be there with you wherever you may be. If you call upon the name of the Lord, accept him as your personal Savior, believing and trusting in him, and repent of your sins, he is faithful and to forgive you. But my friend, if you continue in the lifestyle that our leader has consented to, and on some of the other judges and all these people, you continue in that type of lifestyle, you might come up short. I'm not your judge. I'm just telling you that God is against that kind of stuff, and it's an abomination in his sight, and there's no abomination going to enter into his kingdom. So believe me, you can trust in the word of God, and if you change it around to be anything else, and you are unfaithful to God, and you're faithful to somebody else or something else, you can cry out to all them statues that they claim cried tears of blood, or go to the window and say that this is Mary standing on it, all that kind of stuff that you want to, or the toast that looked like Mary, or whatever. You can cry on to that all you please. It ain't going to get you right. It's only in Jesus Christ. Through the door, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but by, to the Father but by me. I am the truth. I am the door. I am the way. So all these other things that come down the road and telling you this and telling you that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Pray and seek God. Read your Bible, and you'll find out who's who and what's what. My friend, there's only one way, and Jesus said, I am the way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many travel thereon. Narrow is the way, and straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, and few that find it. So remember, if this old preacher ain't said nothing in touching it, remember, you're going to answer to the Lord God of creation, not to me. But you're going to stand before the true and the living God one day, and you're going to give an answer. And he may say, you remember that the time you refused to hear what that little preacher on the radio said, not only me, but others also, and you turned a deaf ear to it, and you said he's crazy or he's this or he's that, didn't offer no prayer for him or anything because of your attitude against that. Now, there's your home, cast you out into outer darkness. I'm not saying it to be cute, not saying it to scare you. Scared religion ain't worth two flips. But my friend, it's the plain truth. One day we're going to stand before God and give an answer. Until next week, we pray that God will richly bless you and keep you until we join again with you. Until God sees fit to bring us together in the place of his kingdom, may God richly bless you and keep you, is my prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.
We would like to invite you to come to our church, Christian Growth Fellowship, where Pastor Pennington brings the Word of God every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Wednesday night Bible study at 7. The church is located at 149 April Lane in Tampa, Florida, 33613. If you don't have a church home, come join the family at ours. If Take Time for Jesus has been a blessing to you, email taketimeforjesus@wtis1110.com or write Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. God bless. That taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are
Bringing Inspiration Radio to Tampa Bay for over 35 years. This is AM 1110, WTIS, Tampa's Inspiration Station.